Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Judges chapter 20. The topic as announced, a lying pastor's folly. The Bible says that God is the God of truth. He cannot lie. God always tells the truth. However, Satan is the direct opposite. He is known as the father of lies. He will always tell lies. That is the nature of the devil, the evil one. And the Bible tells us that all those who have Satan as their father will also be liars. The Bible describes lying as something that is heinous, something that is sinful, so much so that you know from the verse for our memorization this morning, reminds us that liars will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, but will have their part in the second death, which is to be sent into the lake of fire for all eternity. And as children of God, we have to be truthful. And sometimes we know that when we are truthful, there will be consequences. And the consequences will not be in our favor, but we have to tell the truth nevertheless, because that is one of the key elements, the hallmark of someone who is truly born again. To be like our Heavenly Father, we have to be truthful. We must never be liars. To tell lies is a heinous, deceptive evil that must never be found in the lips and in the heart of all of God's children. But there are no liars worse than lying that comes from people in position of leadership, people in position of power. When kings, presidents, CEOs, when they tell lies, their company, their country will be drastically affected. However, we have to realize and admit that in our world, that these leaders are characterized by deception and lying. That's the way the unbelieving world is. Lying is part and parcel of their way of life. It's part and parcel of their disposition. It's part and parcel of the way that they will run their company and their countries. But they are not as bad as pastors who tell lies. Because for them, that is who they are. They are not believers. That's what the world is like. The world will have their hallmark, which was whatever is right in their eyes, they will do. But for the people of Israel, you have the Bible, you have the Word of God. You are not allowed to do what is right in your own eyes because you have God. You have the Word of Truth, which is the absolute laws of God to guide you and to help you so that you do not need to do what is right in your own eyes. But here we have an account of a Levite who is the teacher and preacher of God's holy word. They are the guardians of God's truth. The people do not have the written word of God in their hands. Whatever the word of God that they get will be from these individuals, the priests and the Levites. And here we have a Levite where the system will allow them to have absolute monopoly over God's truth. They can fabricate, they can tell them whatever God's word says that the people will just simply have to accept. Because they don't have the literal written word of God for them to check. You can have another Levite, you can have a priest to evaluate the teaching of another Levite. But it was near impossible for the ordinary people to evaluate the teaching of a Levite or the priest. They just don't have the word of God to do that. And that's why later on in the end of the period of Judges, God raised up a new office. They are called prophets. They are ordinary people. Some of them were farmers. But God will endow them with knowledge from on high, whereby God will use them to rebuke kings, rebuke priests, rebuke Levites, rebuke the people. For not knowing God's word, the prophets were not teachers of God's word. That was the role and function of the priests and Levites. They expect the people to know God's word if each and every category, the king, the prophets, the people, if they were to do their part in obeying God's word, in teaching God's word, the prophets will have no need of a ministry. But when they fail, God will raise up this new ministry to rebuild them. But in the period of Judges, there were no prophets, not yet. Samuel will be the first prophet and the last judge to judge Israel. From the book of 1 Samuel onwards, that will be the beginning of the ministry of the prophets and also the end of theocracy and the beginning of the monarchy. But here we have a continuation of what happened in chapter 19 regarding this Levite. And when such a person with such authority and privilege, and they are characterized by telling lies, the damage they do is enormous, as you will see from the rest of these verses in this chapter. Thousands will die because of the folly of this lying Levite. Churches have been destroyed. Many lives have been ruined when pastors tell lies. Lying and deception, they are similar but not the same. To deceive someone is, in my opinion, worse than telling lies. Lie is just simply downright blatant and blunt. Deception is to manipulate the data, cook the facts, select what you want to say, and make sure that whatever the people hear, you know that by your manipulation of the data, they're going to arrive at the wrong conclusion. That's deception. Not 100% lying, but cook the facts, the data. Here we have this lying Levite, the pastor, and his folly. And his folly, because of his position, will now ruin the nation. And thousands of lives will die because of his folly. Do not tell lies, please. Learn from the characteristic of this lying pastor, this Levite, so that you and I will be wise as serpent to know what is out there and what may possibly be found in the church as well. Because Satan will continue to have his minions who will creep in, who will pretend to be part of God's people. The Bible called them angel of lights, messengers of light. Whose light? God's light. They will pretend to talk scripture. They will pretend to be like Christians, pastors, elders, deacons, leaders. But they are in reality agents of the evil one. And what better way than to play with the hearts and the minds of God's people? Do you know why? Because somehow or other, there is this affinity that the congregation has with their pastor. Somehow, once you accept a person as your pastor, your guard is down. And when you accept him with this kind of 100% acceptance and obedience, and your guard is down, whatever he says, you would believe that he will not take advantage of your trust in him. And so the best way for Satan to control you, to ruin you, is to put these people in position like that of a pastor, where you just simply trust him. You will not assume that he will betray you, hurt you. You assume that whatever he says, it is for your well-being, it is for your good. Why do you think the Bible has so many verses warning us of hirelings, warning us of false pastors, false teachers, false Christ? Why? Because they will come. They are already all over the world in many, many churches. Please, never let your guard down. We will try our best to make sure that everyone who comes onto this pulpit, they are carefully checked through. We'll try our best, but nevertheless, our best does not mean that it is perfect. And so you have to always guard yourself. How to guard yourself? Learn from the characteristics of a lying pastor's folly. And then once you know them, you avoid them. You recognize them so that you will not become a victim. Your lives, your soul, they are very precious to God. Yes, He will not be able to take away your salvation. If you are truly born again, your salvation is safe and secure. Remember, Satan is not trying to take away your salvation. Sometimes when your knowledge of the Word of God is weak, he may make you doubt your salvation, because he knows that if a person who doubts his salvation, he is of not much use to God. He can't serve with a clean heart, a pure mind, because he is not even sure of his own salvation. That's why a person who is weak in God's truth, Satan can easily make him doubt his salvation, and his evangelism, his witness, will be jeopardized. And he wants to do that, because once he succeeds, because that's his agenda. You can't be a godly witness, you will be a bad witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are, at home or in your workplace. The people in your life is what God wants you to impact them for Christ. And Satan will try to ruin that in your life. That is his agenda. You will still be born again, even though you may doubt your salvation, because of your lack of knowledge of God's word. What you have lost is not your salvation, but the assurance of salvation. But when you succumb to his deception and his lying, he will shift your loyalty away from Christ to him. And then he will lead you astray, and the worst case scenario is he will make you think that you are still walking in the path of righteousness, when in reality you are walking in his path, which he now calls the path of his righteousness, not God's. That's how deadly and dangerous a lying pastor is. And your life will be ruined. Your tithe, your offering, your devotion will be to him and no longer to Christ. And this kind of blind sentimental loyalty will destroy your life and the church. Don't follow anyone, not even the pastor, blindly, please. The Apostle Paul has revealed to us, be ye followers of him, Paul says, even as he follows Christ. And if he doesn't follow Christ, Paul says, please don't follow me. And Paul knew he's not perfect. He's far from perfect. All of us are not perfect. So you don't follow any man blindly, please. Your loyalty first and last is always Jesus Christ, not any man. And if you can't see the difference, you better see it immediately, because your life will be ruined. It's only a matter of time. Because when this pastor falls, and you follow him everywhere he goes, and you do so blindly, you are in serious trouble. Because by your presence in his church, you are basically sending off a very clear and loud message that you support him. By giving your tithe and your offering, you are supporting his lies, you are supporting his sin, you are supporting all that he has done. When you sing in the congregation, in his congregation, you are not praising the Lord, you are praising him. Or you sing all the same hymns. You use the name of God, use the name of Christ, but he will not go higher than the ceiling. Because once he is a lying pastor and he remain in his sin, the Bible says God won't even hear his prayer if he is born again. Remember, liars will have no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven except the second death and the lake of fire. Don't think that telling lies is a small, trivial sin. There are people who will talk a lot about doctrines, who will worm themselves into conservative fundamentalist church. What better way than to write what they want to read, speak what they want to hear? Isn't that true? How to get myself into this church? By preaching the Bible is perfect. By telling you all the doctrines that you believe in. I'm not going to be so stupid, if I'm an agent of Satan, to tell you that Jesus Christ is not born of the Virgin Mary. In the blink of an eye, you will kick me out of the church. If I go to a charismatic church, I will know what the charismatics stand for, and then I will say what the charismatic church wants me to say, what they want to hear, and that's how I worm myself into this church. I will study the makeup of the church. And what is the makeup of this church? Get the constitution. But as far as the character is concerned, manipulation of data, manipulation of facts, telling lies, that's easy. All I need to do is to get myself into your good books. How to do that? Be very accommodating. Whatever you want, I will accommodate. But with an agenda. And the agenda is like Absalom, placing himself at the entrance of the city of Jerusalem. Every individual who came to see the King David, his father, no need, the king is too busy. You come and see me. I will help you just as much, if not better. And within a short while, he won over the hearts of the people. What was his agenda? To have a coup. To get rid of his father, King David, and become the next king. And in order to do that, he needs the backing of the people. And what better way to get the backing of the people? Help them with their trouble. Solve their problems. Whatever physical needs you have, Absalom was there. That method worked very well. And David lost the kingdom for a brief moment. You think it will work here? You think it will work in your life? Know the tricks of this lying pastor, because his folly will become yours if you are his slave. If you are blindly loyal to such a man, his folly will become yours and you will become part of his folly as well. So the first thing to bear in mind is found in verse 1 to verse 3. He manipulates the circumstance. He manipulates the circumstances. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan, the northernmost city, even to Beersheba, the southernmost city, with the land of Gilead, unto the Lord in Mizpeh. Now, what did he do to gather all these people? 400,000 of them, the Bible says in verse 2. He cut up the parts of his concubine into 12 parts, sent them to all the tribes throughout the land of Israel with one agenda: to rouse them up, to stir up the emotions and the anger of the people for his personal vengeance. How can they do this to my concubine? That was the purpose of this pastor, this Levite's agenda. Did he succeed? Very, very well. And the chief of all the people, even all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew the sword. Now, verse 3. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpeh. Then said the children of Israel, "Tell us, how was this wickedness?" He manipulated the circumstances in his favor. He knew that by what he did, this would be the outcome, and he succeeded marvelously. Now, how long it took the people to rile up, to get the people to come together, the Bible did not say. But it must have taken at least a week or two. We are talking about the older mode of communication and transportation. And for these people to drop whatever they were doing, to come together, to gather together for this one purpose, he succeeded very well, this Levite. And pastors whose heart has won over the heart of the people, they can do the same with you. If you are not loyal to Christ, if you do not know the truth, if you do not have the mind of God and the mind of Christ in you, that will be the case. Somehow we are people who follow people. But the danger is you never follow people blindly ever. Ever. Especially when you are a child of God. The only person that you will be a yes man to is God himself. You never be a yes man to anyone. Nobody on earth. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are a child of God. He has redeemed you with His precious blood, and therefore you belong to Him. You belong to no man. You don't be a yes man to your boss in your office. Don't be so blind. Have the courage to stand up when what he is suggesting to you is not according to the Bible. You say, I'm sorry, I cannot follow, because it conflicts with my Christian principles according to Scripture. Plain and simple. Let this be part and parcel of your principle of life wherever you are. You can't go around and do what is right in your own eyes, because you have Christ in you. You have the Word of God in you. And that's why, do not be manipulated. Don't let circumstances dictate and control what you do and what you do not do, what you say and do not say. They call it situational ethics. Change the circumstances. How? By telling lies, white lies, hoping that the outcome will be in your favor and what you want it to be. You cannot do that. You know God's Word. You know Scripture. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? Don't let the circumstances be manipulated by the people. They will try. They will continue to try. They will never stop, because it had worked. And they will think that it will work. And yes, it can work, and it will work, but not when you know God's Word. Not when you are a child of God. Not when you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God to give you the strength and the courage to do what is right according to the Bible, whoever you are, wherever you are. They will manipulate the circumstances like this Levite. It was all part of his plan by sending out the parts of his concubine. Was that not the agenda? You can study that in the earlier verses, or the last few verses of chapter 19. He made that very clear. He did that on purpose. And he got what he wanted. And he succeeded very well to mobilize an entire nation to do his bidding. And now they just ask him one simple question. Tell us, how was this wickedness? What wickedness? Well, they're going to find out. They received the parts of a body. They knew something terrible has happened. How wicked can it be when the pastor manipulates the hearts and minds of his own congregation, God's people, to fulfill and satisfy his own purpose and agenda? When our church had this problem of the perfect Bible, the BOE met. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to teach why we believe that the Bible is perfect to the Mandarin congregation. And the BOE has decided, and the pastor of the Mandarin congregation at the time was told, the senior pastor would go down and speak to them. At the BOE meeting, he said yes. But when it actually happens, he said no. He refused. He disobeyed the BOE. All of us, as pastors, we are not a law unto ourselves. There is no more synod. There was once upon a time a synod of the BP Church of Singapore, where every ordained minister, pastors and elders, automatically they are members, part of this synod. And that means the synod will discipline us to regulate our conduct and behavior, so that every pastor is accountable to somebody. No man is supposed to serve on this earth without accountability, because it's only a matter of time we are going to fall into sin. And so the synod was the organization that controls the conduct of every elder and pastor. But with the dissolution of the synod in 1988, every BP church is now independent. And therefore, the highest authority that we have in our church, or in any BP church, will be the board of elders. No more synod. A synod is a combination of all the board of elders combined together. And now there is no more synod. We are on our own. And so if the pastors fall into sin, if the pastors behave in a manner that is against the Scripture, whatever the sin might be, the BOE has every right to tell the pastor what to do. The pastor is not a law unto himself. He is answerable to the bill. Oh, he has certain functions and duties. But if he does anything wrong, the BOE has every right to take him to task. And so, the Mandarin pastor refused. Now, unless we barge in and create a ruckus, we were helpless. Because we have to follow proper Christian conduct. We could only pray and trust in the Lord and pray that the Lord will be merciful to save his people, to protect his people. And thank God by his grace and mercy, he helped us. Here we have a Levite. Who is he answerable to? There is no synod. Every Levite, every priest, they are given so much power, so much authority. They are answerable only to God. Yes, we are all answerable to God. The pastor is answerable to God. But God has given to us on this earth organizations, ministries, offices, where we are to have mutual accountability toward one another. And in our system, church system, it is the board of elders. That's why it is so important that the board of elders are made up of men who fear God, men whose lives, whose characteristics and attributes are in line with God's holy word. Otherwise, the church will die. If the elders are crooked, carnal, worldly, the church is finished. And here we have a nation who will regulate the conduct of the Levite. He manipulated the circumstances in his favor, and it is a nation that is now in his pocket. 400,000 people at his beck and call, and they gave him a blank check by asking him this question. Tell us, how was this wickedness? They just listened to him. Now you watch. First he manipulates the circumstances. Now that he has won and he has got them in his pocket, the next step is he's going to manipulate the facts, the data. Now you read what he's going to say here. If you can recall and remember what actually transpired in chapter 19. Now you watch what he left out conveniently. Now you watch. And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, the one that he cut up, answered and said, I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin. So he now targeted the city and the tribe. I and my concubine to lodge. Now he did not say what transpired. What were you doing there? The earlier part where his concubine left him, he did not go back to collect her in Bethlehem, Judah. All these he conveniently left out. You may say, well, never mind, they're not that important how he ended up in this situation. Why was he traveling? Alright, fine, fair enough, maybe. Now let's see. Verse 5. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night and thought to have slain me. Was that what they wanted? To kill him? Maybe, if you consider what they wanted to do to him by raping him, have sexual relationship with him. Well, what the old man said, by offering the two daughters, or one daughter and his concubine to them, left out. What about what he did by taking his concubine and push her out of the house? Did he say that? Now that's what happened. You look at verse 23 of 19, just to recollect what actually happened. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them, that is the old man, and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, because they surrounded the house, they wanted to have sex with this Levite. And then this old man, the owner of the house, said, No, don't do this thing that is so wicked. Seeing that this man is coming to my house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, that is a virgin, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. But the man would not hearken unto him, so the man, that is the Levite, took his concubine, and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her, and abused her all the night unto the morning, and when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning, he went to sleep. While he did this heinous thing to his concubine by pushing her out, knowing that she was being gang raped, and he didn't even care one bit. It was not a sunrise yet. There was still time. She lay outside the house until the sun rose. And her Lord rose up in the morning, opened the doors of the house, went out to go his way, and behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold, and he said unto her, Up, let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and got him unto his place. The callous nature of this Levite completely omitted. His own culpability, his own contribution to this wickedness was conveniently omitted by him. You look at verse 5. They came to slay me, and my concubine have they forced that she is dead. Did they force themselves on the concubine? Yes. What he said was truthful. But what he omitted turned the truth that he related to them into a lie. How did the people get your concubine? He did not say. What he did wrong, he conveniently left out. See, one of the simple rules of counseling is this. If a third party tells you certain thing about A and B, that's one kind of testimony. He's a third party, he's not involved. But when A, who is involved, tells you about B, complain about B, if both of them have a disagreement or an argument, you just listen to what A says. Don't have to say anything else. Because most of the time, not all the time, most of the time, what A did that was wrong will be conveniently omitted. He will caricature B and turn him into an ogre. Don't make any comment, don't take any action. Just simply say, thank you for what you have said. Now let me speak to B. And let B tell his side of the story. Now this is what you and I do when you counsel husband and wife who are in trouble. This is normal common procedure. You don't listen to one side when both parties are quarreling. Listen to one side first and then the other side and then bring the two of them together. That's how you counsel. It takes a lot of time. But you have to be very wise and very careful that they do not make use of you. You do not be made use of. Now here, we have a lying pastor who manipulated the facts. And then I took my concubine and cut her in pieces. Look at verse 6. What about he went to sleep? What about what he did when he found her lying on the entrance of this old man's house? And the callous nature of what he did to her. Get up. All these he left out on purpose. Why? To make himself smelling so nice, isn't it? The evil is all on the part of the people of Gibeah. Not me. I am completely pure and clean and innocent. He manipulated the facts in his favor. A lying pastor will continue to do that. If you are not wise and if you are not careful, you will be deceived. Because by and large, pastor-congregation relationship, there is this invisible somehow, some kind of affinity between the pastor and the congregation that you just simply believe. Whatever he says, no matter how a third party observes, the heinous nature, the deception, the evil in this pastor is so clear. How come they can't see? Why are they so gullible? That's the way congregation is. You don't become such a congregation. And the only way that you do not become such a congregation is that you are firmly grounded in God's word. No other way. If you are not grounded in God's word, you don't have the mind of Christ. And when you don't have the mind of Christ, which is the mind of God, you're going to be deceived by the evil one. Because the evil one has thousands of years since the beginning of the Garden of Eden to master the art of deception and lying. And if you think that your puny little IQ and your 70 on earth is good enough to outwit Satan, who has been on earth for thousands of years, who was created as an archangel, who is known as the father of lies, and if you think that your puny little IQ can see through his deception, then you are fooling yourself. Only when you have the mind of Christ can you see through the deception and the evil of Satan. Do you know what the Bible teaches concerning someone telling you certain things about another person, whereby the penalty, like in this case, will be total, absolute annihilation? If what he says is true, do you know what will be the outcome? They have to wipe out the entire city for this heinous sin that they have committed. Do you realize that? The Bible gave us proper instruction. You turn to Deuteronomy 13. Now, of course, the Levite who had the Word of God will know, assuming that he studied God, so at least he had the Word of God. But the people would not know. They don't have the Word of God. And so what we are going to read in Deuteronomy 13, verse 12 to verse 18, they are oblivious of this. The Bible made it very clear. Chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, verse 12. If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. Or this is in the case of idolatry, in the case of what we have studying in Judges chapter 20, it was homosexuality, which is the fruits of idolatry. Now you watch what's the response. Then shalt thou inquire and make a search, and ask what? Diligently investigate. Don't just listen to one side, especially when the party is an interested party. And behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, definite, and that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of the city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be an heap forever, and it shall not be built again. And there shall cleave not of the cursed thing to thy hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show thee mercy and have compassion upon thee and multiply thee as he has sworn unto thy fathers, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments, which I commanded this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. See, the only solution is to know the word of God. Now, if this is not taught, they do not know. They are going to react. And so he will manipulate the reaction of the people. He manipulated the circumstances. He manipulated the facts. And now he knew he had succeeded. Deuteronomy 17, another similar passage. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 17. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then only you will punish that man and the woman, and stone them with stones. You see, on both counts, searching, investigating diligently is mentioned, because of the severity of the consequence that will follow, that is death. And in this case, the death of an entire city of God's people. Now, you don't teach that to the people. They listen, play with their emotions, play with their devotion and their loyalty to you. Doctor the facts. And so what do you have? Look at the outcome. Verse 8. And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. Neither, now they make an oath. We will not go back home and live normal lives. Until what? But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, draw lots. And we will take 10 men of 100 through all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000 to fetch victual for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. 10% of 400,000, that means 40,000, that's all. So 40,000 people will be gathered from these 400,000, and then they will now surround Gibeah, and what they're going to do? They're going to attack it, and kill, and destroy. And so all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. You see how this Levite, this lying Levite succeeded, and this folly of his will now become the folly of the nation. And we are seeing the same thing repeating itself over and over again, and in this time it is in churches, where the loyalty of the people is to the man. And not to Christ, not to the God of the Bible, not to the Bible, but to the man. And this kind of blind loyalty, you're not helping the man. He's manipulating you. You don't let him succeed because you're not helping. If you really care for him, rebuke him. Tell him of his sin. And don't follow anyone blindly. You have to be very wise and careful which church you attend. Your presence by itself, standing up, sitting down, worshiping, singing hymns, giving of your tithe and offering, these are all part and parcel of your 100% overt support of such a lying pastor. So don't think that just simply attending church, listen to the sermon, and the sermon is very biblical, that is fine. It is not fine. Especially when he is nothing but a lying pastor. He is using you. He is playing with your soul. And he is now controlling your behavior and your conduct. And by attending such churches, you are giving him a support for his lying, for his deception, for all the sins that he has committed. Now, if he has repented, that is a different story. But if he has not repented and he continues in his deception and his lying and his manipulation, you be wise. You be careful. Because lying pastors and their folly, they are a dime a dozen today. They are very common. Don't let your life be sucked into this kind of lie, this kind of folly. You only have one life to live. Live it wisely. If you are truly born again, don't waste your life of witness on this earth. Because every minute you spend serving a lying pastor, it is a minute that will be used by Satan to serve him. Because that's who he is following, that's who he is serving. Oh, he will say he is serving Jesus Christ. He will say he is serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What else do you expect him to say? If deception is supposed to succeed, he's not going to tell you, I'm serving the devil, follow me. Nobody will follow him, come on. That's why the Bible calls Satan an angel of light. And those who follow him are also angels of light, messenger of light. Whose light? God's light. They will pretend. Be wise. How? Know the Bible. Know the Bible, no other way. Be a good student of God's truth, because that is the only way that you can see through the lying pastor and his folly, so that your life, your testimony for Christ, will truly be for Christ and not be for the devil. Please realize and understand, just because you say and sincerely say that you are following Christ does not mean that you are. The period of judges is also a period of a lot of sincere people. But when you do not follow the Bible and you do what is right in your own eyes, albeit sincerely, it is still wrong. It is still deadly and dangerous to the cause of Christ and to the witness and testimony of Christ in these last days. Beware of the folly of the lying pastor. He manipulates the circumstances, the facts, and then your life, the people. The people's loyalty to him will be taken advantage of by him. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may all your children be good students of thy holy word, that we may truly be wise as serpents and harmless as dove, to know that we live in a world that is filled with sin and evil and wickedness. And even when we look at the church, we see the world. And when we look at the world, we see the church in the world. Help us, O Lord, in these last days, that we may have eyes that are in tune with God's holy word, that we may all be biblical in our thinking, in our speech, and in our lives, that none of us will be caught wanting because we do not know thee, because we do not know holy scriptures. May we always be not only students of God's holy word, but be men and women and children where the word of God is obeyed in our lives, that others, when they see our lives and our good works, they will see Christ and glorify our Father who art in heaven. Preserve and watch over thy people, O Lord, that we may all be loyal only to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and follow men only when they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Be merciful to defend, protect all your people. For Jesus' sake, hear us. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.